A lot of times we can use the word with common sense because God gives us that to use. But so this is a good illustration of that. And it said, a dog's purpose from a six-year-old. And it said, being a veterinarian, I had been called to examine a 10-year-old Irish wolfhound named Belker. The dog's owner, Ron, his wife, Lisa, and their little boy, James, were very attached to Belker, and they were hoping for a miracle. I examined Belker and found he was dying of cancer. I told the family we couldn't do anything for Belker and offered to perform the euthanasia procedure for their old dog in their home. We made arrangements, and Ron and Lisa told me that they thought it would be good for their six-year-old James to observe the procedure. They felt as though James might learn something from the experience. The next day, I felt the familiar catch in my throat as Belker's family surrounded him. And James, the six-year-old, seemed to be so calm, petting the dog for the last time, that I wondered if he really understood what was going on. Within a few minutes, Belker slipped away peacefully. The little boy seemed to accept Belker's transition without any difficulty or confusion. We sat together for a while after Belker's death, wondering aloud about the sad fact that animals' lives are shorter than human lives. And James, who had been listening quietly, piped up, said, "I know why." And it startled we all turned to him, and well, what came out of his mouth said next stunned me. I'd never heard a more comforting explanation. He said, "People are born so they can learn how to live a good life, like loving everybody all the time and being nice, right?" The six-year-old continued, "Well, dogs already know how to do that, so they don't have to stay as long." It says, it's a little footnote here, it says, live simply, love generously, care deeply, and speak kindly. And then it had another part of the email. It said, remember, if a dog was a teacher, you would learn things like this. When loved ones come home, always run to greet them. Boy, we need to learn that, don't we? Allow the experience of fresh air and the wind in your face to be pure ecstasy. Jan and I are almost there. We go out at the track, and it's just, this is such a beautiful day, isn't it? Oh, this is a and so we treasure that when we do our walks in the evenings after work. Take naps. Some of you people think the world can't survive without you. Just take a nap. We'll make it. Stretch before rising. Run, romp, and play daily. I do that and it gets on Jana's nerves. Thrive on attention and let people touch you. You know, be touchable, right? Avoid biting when simple growl will do. On warm days, stop to lie on your back on the grass. We see that up the park too. On hot days, drink a lot of water and lie under a shade tree. When you're happy, dance around and wag your entire body. I do that and it gets on our nerves too. Delight in the simple joy of a long walk. Be loyal. Never pretend to be something you're not. If what you want lies buried, dig until you find it. When someone is having a bad day, be silent. Sit close by and nuzzle them gently. Enjoy every moment of every day. That was what a dog would teach us if they were doing the training. So that was Misty's sermon to us this morning, okay? I want to talk to you about I believe in the Bible. And I don't know what all parts I'll bring in today. I knew some of it would and some of it would not make it, but there's a precious spirit in this place that I think is start of revival. And so we need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and just saying, what is my part? And just be, this morning, I was very excited when our prayer team that volunteered last week raised their hands and they all came to prayer meeting this morning and said, here's some ideas we have to keep prayer in the forefront of our church. And they won't know how excited I was to see them all there. at our prayer meeting this morning. I believe prayer changes things. I believe the Word of God changes things. It's changed me and you, hasn't it? And God wants to change our city and our country and our nation with the Word of God. It's the only hope that we have to give. It's the only message of hope that we have to give. Everybody have your Bible this morning? This is my Bible. I believe what it says I can do. Is that right? I can do what it says I can do. I can be what it says I can be. I can have what it says I can have. I can go where it says I can go. I can learn what it says I can learn. And I can give what it says I can give. Let's add one. I can win who it says I can win. In Jesus' name. Amen. I want to give you a few scriptures. You can turn if you want to. I'm going to quote them kind of quickly. But Hebrews, the 4th chapter, 12th verse. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 2 Peter 1:20. But these are scriptures I want to give to you this morning. And I did a little research on the Bible. Guess how many Bibles have been sold? It's the number one bestseller. And guess how many Bibles? And there's different numbers, but approximately how many Bibles has been sold? 6 billion Bibles. The NIV has been over 1 billion Bibles in itself. 6 billion Bibles sold. A study was handed to me, we did a little research, and it talked about the Old Testament, and there's a central theme in the Bible. And here, we don't want to miss this, because if we miss the central theme, we've missed the whole purpose of reading the Word. And it's about Jesus Christ and His relation to man. I mean, that's the central theme of what he's saying. And everything we read, we ought to remember, this is Jesus, and this is about us and our relationship to him. He said about the Old Testament, it's preparation. Remember, he said, the seed of woman will bruise your head, or he will bruise your head, and you will bruise his heel. So you start preparing Jesus Christ from the very first part of Genesis. And all the way through. And it says this in the Gospels, then Jesus was manifest. The Bible talks about the Word of God became flesh and dwelled among us. And so He's manifest to us. His presence is manifest. And then in the book of Acts, it's the propagation of the church. The birth of the new church. And all the disciples start to multiply. Christ followers everywhere. And how many knows that they're still here today? We're a result of that new church. Christ followers come. And then the explanation in the epistles or the rest of the books of the Bible it talks about. And it explains in the rest of the books our relationship to Christ and our responsibilities and our privileges and our call to Christ. And what we... The joys that we can have in serving Him. And then it talked about the consummation being in the book of Revelation, where He wraps it all up. And how many's read in the book of Revelations, there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. A new heaven and a new earth. And we'll be a part of that. It's a place where there's no sickness, no sorrow, no suffering, no lungs collapsing, no dogs dying, no family being murdered. It's a place that we can't fathom. And he says, that's our hope, that through Christ we'll all be there some glad morning. And I believe this, until we get there, we should bring a little bit of heaven on earth every day. Because we're praying, thy kingdom, what? Come. Thy will be done. So we're carrying out the will of God. What we did this morning is a part of the will of God as tears were flowing and the Spirit was manifest here in this place. And it's the power of God. The kingdom coming to us. Can you feel it this morning? The power of the kingdom. In Hebrews 4:12, this is the NIV. It says, for the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. And I love this last part. It judges the thoughts and the attitude of the heart. In other words, if we can read this word, if we can believe this word, and we can act on this word, it produces a great life in us. For some of us that say that sometimes, well, you know, they made me mad, or they really got me aggravated, or that makes me, you know, that doesn't make you. What makes you is if we get this inside of us, and it's alive and active, and we believe it, and we act on it, and it can produce great life in us. It's, how many knows, it's called the living Word of God. The living Word of God. 2 Timothy 3:16. It's the inspired Word of God. This is also the NIV. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Listen, to all of us, this is for husbands, this thing is our manual for being a great husband. It's our manual for being a great dad. A great employee or a great boss or wherever you stand in your business community. For you women, this is a guide for being a great mother, grandmother. Yesterday, Jana took Addie out. She said, "Nanny, I want to go shopping." On the way to shopping, she was watching her movie in the back of Jana's car and she took off the headphones and said, "Nanny," she said, "Yes, honey." She said, "I love you." Yeah, you say, "Oh," I'll say, "Ching, ching, ching, ching." She said, "She really knows how to use me." And she brought back a stack of clothes this high. I said, "How much did you spend?" And she told me, "Whew." Yeah. You know what? That's the way God loves you. When you say, "Father, I love you." And He just wants to pour blessing out upon you. This is a God-breathed word, and it's inspired, and it's used for correcting and for training and for everything we need. And it's not in a bad sense. You know, it's a God loves us. We need to get that in our spirit. God loves us. And so He sent His Son and His love and His salvation so we could go to heaven and enjoy life here. That we could have it more abundantly here. Listen, this word is the parent's guide to great parenting. It's to use biblical principles. Take biblical principles and use these in your family with love. It's a lot better than screaming. It's a lot better than screaming. What you think and what you feel and what they're going to get. This is the living, active Word of God. And so we take biblical principles and we apply them. Let me give you some. You know, when my son was a teenager, he pinned up a whole bunch of ladies on the wall with skimpy bikinis one time, and you know, teenage boys have hormones. You know that. And so he put them on the wall, and it was one winter day, and I was studying at home, and Jana walked in his room and saw them. And so I just went in, and she said, "Oh, yeah, they're on the wall." So I went in, and I took them all down. We had the fire going in the fireplace, so I just threw them all in the fire. And he came home and said, "Where's all my pictures?" And I said to him, I said, "Son, those pictures promoted lust." I said, "Those were beautiful women, but they promoted lust." You know, if you just... looking at them, and I said, "And we don't promote lust in our house. And this is why we don't promote lust in our house, because see all this stuff that we have here? God has blessed us. And we want God to continue to bless our home. And so we don't promote lust in our house. And because we want to continue the blessings of God and to be a blessing to you all." See, I told him why. Those biblical principles. And then I said to him, "Now when you get your home, you can just wallpaper your whole house with naked women if you want to, but you can't do it with the blessings of God." See, I could have said, "This is my house, that's why." But we need to give them the principles and the why that tells our kids that we serve a God that wants to bless us, and if we're short of anything more than the blessing, the Word of God says He wants to bless us. So if we're anything short of that, here's why. It's because we're not living and active in this Word. And you can, I mean, knows we can do whatever we want to, but not without consequences. The Word says, though, He wants to bless us. It's good for rebuke, for training, correction, and righteousness. And then it says in 2 Peter 1:20, this is the Living Bible. I love the way it says it. For no prophecy recorded in Scripture was ever thought up by the prophet himself. It was the Holy Spirit within these godly men who gave them the true messages from God. This is true. Let me believe. This is true. This is the living Word of God. And the message in this is true, and it works today. Those prayers we pray, those aren't just something we pray out of emotion. This is godly prayers that we've learned, and we pray over you. And God brings blessing and health and healing and restoration and all that we need. This book gives a description of how the planet was created, and it gives a description of how the planet will end. I don't know any other book that does that. And then the scientists try to tell us, what happened was there's a big bang, and there's some little life cells, and we became wiggly tadpoles, and then we come out of the water, and then we went up in a tree, and then we got out of the tree, and we put our suits on. That's a condensed version. And how many knows, I've never seen half man, half ape. I've only seen apes and I've seen humans. Red, yellow, black, or white. I've never seen anything in between, have you? They call it the missing link. Here's the missing link right here. We're created in God's image, made in His likeness. And someday we're going to go live with Him forever and ever in a place where there's no more sickness, sorrow, suffering. That's the Word of God. It's the Word of God. All the ailments that we suffer now, we won't suffer when we get to heaven. We'll see Mitzi and Miss Vivian when we get to heaven. And we'll just dance around the throne forever and ever without any more kind of arthritis or sickness or anything. No more colonoscopies. Hallelujah. Did you see the sympathy my wife had when he said, "You're praying"? Kind of like minor surgery. There's only minor surgery if it's done on you, right? Not me. It's only minor surgery there is. But it tells us, this book tells us that here's the start, here's your beginning, here's your end. God says one of these days the sun will give no more light. It'll burn up. That's a promise we have from God's Word. It will. It will burn itself out someday. I don't know when, but God said it. It won't give light anymore. It's a promise from God's Word. Everything's in here. It tells us everything we need to know. It talks about a healthy life. In fact, if you want to know if you have a healthy life, here's what you do. You can tell if you're healthy or if you're unhealthy by looking in the Scripture and just doing every once in a while a little survey in Galatians 5. If you want to just know what state... Now, you may want to take a few friends with you that you love and trust. And say, according to Galatians, where do you think I am now? People that you trust and people that you love and people that you know love you. You want to do a health check, this is where you go. Listen, Galatians 5:19. This is the Living Bible. But when you follow your own wrong inclinations, your lives will produce these evil results. How many knows when we follow something that's wrong, we can follow it, but it will produce evil results. And then it gives a list, impure thoughts. If you struggle with impure thoughts, he said, it's a result of following your own wrong inclinations. It's not anyone else. And he tells us how to turn from that, but he says, eagerness for lustful pleasure. Idolatry, spiritism, which is very prevalent in our society, that is encouraging the activity of demons, hatred, fighting, jealousy, anger, constant effort to get the best for yourself. Here's one, complaints and criticisms. When we have complaints and criticisms, you know where it comes from? Our own wrong feelings and followings. It's not the economy, and it's not... In our prayer meeting this morning, we talked about presidential candidates, and everybody has an opinion. We should not be Democrats or Republicans. We should be Christians.
Amen.
I'm an American. There you go. I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. How many knows the one opponent's going to say this about the other opponent? And I encourage our people that if you want to be a good citizen, study the issues. Go online, get the facts, and then make up your mind and pray. We need to pray over our leaders, and our team will be leading us in prayer, just kind of like we were this morning. This is good stuff, and we want to keep that up. But the thing is, we need to pray without bias and without prejudice, and to say, who is it that God wants to set up to rule and lead us in our country? And trust God. Trust God. See, the Republicans think if Obama and Biden get in, we're doomed. And the Democrats think if we get John McCain, he's old, and a woman in there, we're doomed. I like what one guy said. He said, you know, all these prejudiced people, you're going to have to vote for a black or a woman. Boy, they're just in a pickle today, aren't they? Pray for them. Yeah. But we need to pray sincerely from our heart. For you know, they're all God's creatures. They're all created in the image of God. It's just our place to pray. But complaints and criticism. And this is the feeling that everyone else is wrong except for those in their own little group. You see that in Christianity. And there will be wrong doctrine when that happens, it says. Envy, murder, drunkenness, wild parties, all sorts of things. It says, let me tell you again, as I've told you before, that anyone that living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. And then he says, if you want to know how healthy you are, it says, but when the Holy Spirit comes, when the Word of God lives in your life, it's alive inside of you, it says, when it comes, He will produce this kind of fruit in us. Love. How's your loving going lately? Is there people you can't stand? It's a spiritual problem. It's not a them problem. That's a spiritual problem. If you've got someone you don't love, it's a spiritual problem that you have that you can only fix. You're mad at somebody, you hate somebody, you're aggravated. Don't stay there. It's a spiritual problem. How's your joy lately? I don't see enough happy Christians. I saw Dennis and I think it was Dorothy maybe and Randy that's doing the square dance up here this morning. Yeehaw! Don't beat them down, just fan them a little bit. Come on, they're happy. Get you some joy. That's a part of the fruit. Is the Spirit is alive on the inside of you and well. Yeah, there's a time to cry. We cried with you this morning. There's a time to cry, and a time to embrace, and a time to do it. But he said, there's a time to laugh, church. It's time to laugh and to enjoy the fruit of our life. Peace. What kind of peace do you have today? For you that's always in a crisis, it's a spiritual problem. It's not your husband. It's not your wife. It's not your child. It's a spiritual problem. That's a fruit of the Spirit is peace. It's not a product of your household or your job or your economy. It's a spiritual problem if you don't have peace. Patience. And that's the one that shoots me in the head right there. Patience. I've got strategies that I work on that. And so patience. Kindness. How kind are we? Goodness. Faithfulness. How faithful are you in what God has called you to? Gentleness. Self-control. There should be no conflict with Jewish laws in any of these, it says. Jesus was the Word, and He became flesh, the Bible says in 1 John. And then Jesus taught us in Matthew, He said in Matthew 4, He said, if you want to be successful in life, and when He was led into the wilderness to be tempted, what did Jesus use? The Word. You know what He said? He said, if you're really Christ, command these stones to be made bread. And you know what Jesus said? Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. You know where He got that? Deuteronomy. He is quoting the Word of God. So when we have battles, He said, this is for our battles, and this is for our daily living. It's the Word of God. This is what works. How many knows when you have a battle, you have something going on in your mind? We get in trouble when it's not the Word of God. It's what I think or what I feel or how I'm going to react. Instead of saying, well, I don't know how I feel or react, but I know what the Bible says. Sometimes people try to pick an argument with me and they say, well, what do you think about this? And it usually always soothes the issue. It's like, well, I don't know what the Bible says. And give what the Bible says. How many know you can't argue what the Bible says? And so it's the same way in our daily walk, what the Bible says. Jesus taught that we should not only speak the Word in our lives for our daily use, but He said, we ought to speak it over each other. Just like we did this morning, was we prayed prayers over each other and blessing over each other. That's good stuff. That's good stuff. That's praying the Word and speaking the Word over each other. In Matthew 8:16, it said, then when evening had come, they brought to Him, to Jesus, many who were demon-possessed, and He cast out spirits with a word. That was Matthew 8:16. It said in verse 17, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, He Himself took our infirmities and bore our sickness. Here we had the Word speaking the Word over people. And so it's right to pray over people and speak the Word over them like we did this morning. One other note I might give you before we close is this. Whenever we're reading this Word and confessing this Word and praying this Word over people, just remember this. There's always a spiritual side. This is not just a... How many knows you can't just read this in the natural and it makes sense? How many's ever had somebody that don't believe in Christ say, oh, it's a good book, I read it once. You know, I've had people tell me that with, you know, real intelligence. Hey, it's a good book. I've read it once. See, you can't read this just with your natural mind. If we're not connected with God, this won't make sense and it won't be active and alive. In fact, there's parts of this Bible that if you don't read it in the Spirit, how about when Jesus said, you know what, when they ask who's going to follow me, He said, well, I tell you, the only people who can follow me, if you'll eat my flesh and drink my blood, you can follow me. And the multitude looked at Jesus and they walked away. You know what they're saying? This guy's into vampirism and cannibalism. And His disciples stood there kind of confused and confounded. He said, are you leaving? And Peter said, I love what Pete said. He said, where would we go? Let me ask you something, church. Where would you go if you left Christ? Huh? Where would you go? Well, I'll go back out in the world where I don't have so many problems. Huh. Where would you go? And how many knows when we take communion on Sunday mornings, we have the spiritual application of that scripture, that the blood that was shed for us, that symbolizes, and the body that was given for us, we eat the bread and that was broken for us, and our sins were nailed to the cross. And so we have to read this with the spiritual application. There has to be a connection to it. You know, you can go out and make your credit card if you want to, but how many knows if it's not connected somewhere? You can go out, maybe some of you that know how to do graphic art, you know, I bet Eric could probably make us all some blank checks that look just like the originals. And then some of our teens might could even make us some money if we ask them. Most computers are pretty sharp, aren't they? but the fact is, unless it's connected to the right place, it's not going to be a real blessing, is it? Same way with the Scripture. If you're not connected here, you know, we can know this and all that, but if we got sin in our lives and we're disconnected and we're not walking with Christ, this is not going to be alive and powerful and active. Only thing that's going to be powerful and active is correction and rebuke. So it's powerful and it's alive. Now, the other day we talked about Elijah and how he prayed, remember, in his prayer, through God's Word, shut up the heavens. And I want to give you one more thought on prayer, on the Bible and hearing God's Word, because Sometimes we're a lot like Elijah. Remember when he prayed and, the heavens were shut up? The word of the Lord came to him. See, God's word will come to us in our heart. How many of you ever just got a word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and you knew this is what I was supposed to do? When I went and prayed for Paul, I just felt the, and for you that I came to and prayed for, I felt led to come to you this morning through the Spirit and pray over you. And you that prayed for me, I feel like you was led to pray for me, and that's a beautiful thing, isn't it? But here's what I want you to get from the Word of God. When Elijah went and prayed, remember, God sent him down to a brook, and he said, I'm going to supply your needs at a brook. And here, and it doesn't make sense. You have to put the logic down and connect spiritually, because he said to him, I'm going to supply your need through birds and a brook. Now, I don't know about you, but if I told Jana, we're moving and we're moving to, you know, Timbuktu, and she said, well, what are we going to do? I said, we don't have to worry about it. We're going to move down by a little brook. The birds are going to bring us dinner and supper, or breakfast and supper. How many knows that she might think I was... How many of you, if God told you that, you might think, is this God? But he took him down there, and for months, it doesn't say how long, but for months, birds came and brought him meat and bread in the morning and meat and bread in the evening, and the water was there. But somewhere along the way, the brook dried up. The word of God that he spoke to him had ended, and in that part of the word, and here's what I want you to get out of that part of the word ended. See, sometimes we hear from God and we think this is the way we do church and this is the way we do work and here's what we're supposed to be, because we heard from God. And I'm probably just as bad as anybody. You don't want to hear from God. And then, but God says, well, that was for that season and I want to do something else today. I told the praisers many months ago, you're better off without me. And you know, I play limited guitar, but I think I was just, until the group jail, just kind of the stabilizer, you know. If they don't behave, pastor will get you. You know. Because, you know, if you ever work with musicians, they're kind of finicky. They're kind of weird. I know, I'm part, you know, I got that stuff. And last night we saw Joe Nichols out at the fair. Joe Nichols is a country singer, and he sang Unsinkable Ships Sink and that song. But Joe Nichols is no communicator. I said, it's a good thing Joe can sing, because he can't connect with his audience at all. Huh? It's a gift. So you musicians, you connect with people through your gifts and your talents, and I'm just having fun with you, but that's how you connect. If you're a good musician, singer, whatever, you'll connect with people through your talents and things, but it doesn't mean that this is, you know, it can just change. And so I told him, I said, I need to come out, and so finally I came out, and I don't know about you, but I just think they're better. I just see them getting better and better and gelling more, and I appreciate what they're doing. See? That was a word that I had for quite a while. You need to just come out of that. And to be honest, I enjoyed playing with these guys. They're fun to play with. We had a good time. Don't think, because you get a word from God, that it's going to be forever. God may want you to do something new. Today, when the prayer warriors came in that said, part of my life is prayer, and I will be there, they come up with some good things. That's a new stage for them, but man, it was refreshing to have them in there this morning, wasn't it, in our prayer meeting. It's refreshing to hear the new ideas and them joining their faith with our faith. So when he says, the brook has dried up, and Elijah could have just sat there and said, this is what, I know I heard God, and the bird didn't come, but I'm believing God, and he could have sat there until he starved to death. And God would have said, I had another word, you should have listened. And then, the other thing is, don't be surprised if it kind of seems odd what you hear. If he's going to send you somewhere from a brook, that's got plenty of water and plenty of food that he's bringing in every day, it really doesn't make sense. If I was God, I would send you to some rich widow or some guy's, you know, that's really blessed, that's doing well. He didn't do that. Remember what the word was to him? I got this widow that's going to sustain you until it rains. He came into town, he looks at her, he had a word from God. I'm telling you, this word and the word that God gives you is alive, and God will honor His word. And so he goes into town, and what does he find but a poor widow? And remember what the poor widow said when he said, give me a drink? She said, all right. And then when she was going, he said, oh yeah, make me a little cake. And remember what she said? We just have a little. I'm going to make a little fire for me and my little son. Make me a little cake. We're going to die in a little while. Listen, if you don't know if you heard from God at that moment, you'll say, well, excuse me a little bit. You know, I'm out of here. Wrong person. But he had heard from God. And he said, he knew the widow wasn't going to sustain him. God said, I will sustain you by this widow. And so he says there, don't fear. God said he's going to sustain us. And so she was obedient. And this new word that seemed kind of odd, all I'm saying is it may seem odd to you when you get a new word. There's, you know, you've been doing this, and now God says, now I want you to do this. And it may seem odd what you're doing, may seem odd where he has you, but if it's from God, there'll be it'll be a place of blessing. While everybody else was scrounging to make a living and trying to go out and fretting and worrying, all they had to do every morning until it rained was open the lid and scoop the meal out because they were under the obedience of God's Word. And my question this morning to you and I is this. Are we under the obedience of God's Word or are we following mammon? You know, we live in a world where money is everything, isn't it? And so we stress over what we don't have and how we're going to get and how we're going to do. And God says, you know what? Seek ye first my kingdom and righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Seek ye first. See, that's a written word, but it's also a spiritual word, isn't it? So, my question for us is, this is the living word. This is the thing that discerns between our thoughts and our hearts and our attitude. And this is the word that brings life and this is the word. But what is God saying to you today? Are you living under that current word that God has for you? That's where life and blessing and peace and hope and help abide. Is I know that this is where God wants me now. Maybe it was different a few months ago, last year, but there's a new abiding, a new word that God says, now, you were there, and now I want to put you here. I want you to be in this area, and I want you to do this, and this is where the blessing will be poured out. It's a good place to be in it. So don't miss the written word, and don't miss the spoken word that God has for you, because it's a place where blessings abide. It's where it is. We heard from God this morning. Could you tell? We heard from God. When I was standing back there and God said, it's time to pray. I saw her broken heart and I felt a heaviness and I thought, it's time to pray. It's time to change the order of service. It was sweet, wasn't it? It was sweet. And all I'm saying is we need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. We're in a new place, trying to do a new thing, and we can't do it with old ways. Just come, Holy Spirit. Just come, and let's listen. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray that our ears that we have would hear Your Word. I don't care if they're seekers, they're people that's been with You for years and years and years and years. Help us all in this building to hear Your voice. And to hear Your Word, and to believe Your Word, and to get this Word of God inside of us so that it can be active and alive, and it will produce joy and love and peace and kindness and self-control and all the fruits of the Spirit. God, you're wanting to do a new work in our church and in our lives. And I pray, Father, in Jesus' name, that you'll make us very sensitive to your word and to walk humbly and holy before our God so we can be light and salt in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you for a refreshing this morning for this congregation. What a breath of fresh air you brought to us. We ask you, God, to help us to take your word and just live it every day. When we're going through battles, just to get up in the morning and speak it like Jesus did. Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And just begin to speak the word. This is our life that you've given to us. Teach us, Lord, to put our trust and hope in you and your word, not our finances, not our feelings, not our economy, and not our relationships, but to put it in the word of God that will lead us and guide us and direct us in all truth. Christians are praying and heads are bowed. If you're here today and you need Christ, you've got sin that needs to be out of your life, just if you need to make a commitment today and you're tired of living in confusion and turmoil and fear, and you say, today I want to make a new commitment to Christ, just pray this out to yourself or out loud, wherever you want to do it, but pray it to the Lord from the bottom of your heart and tell Him this. Say, dear Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Remove all my sin. Remove all confusion and darkness. Bring light. Bring love and hope and joy. I give my life to you, Lord. I give myself to you. Be my Lord and Savior. And use me in your kingdom to bring hope to others. Do me a favor, if you prayed that prayer, would you just lift up your hand? That's it.